This is Avi Arditi with Roseanne Scherbel, and this week on Wordmaster, as delegates in South Africa discuss racism, we discuss the language of race.
About 13% of Americans are black. They are now rivaled in number by Hispanics, who can be of any race. Asians have reached 4% of the population.
Still, as of last year's census, the great majority of Americans identified themselves as white.
I call myself Euro-American in some of my classes, and my students really get offended by that.
Janet Bing is a linguistics professor at Old Dominion University in Virginia. She's worked on diversity training at her school to help different people learn to get along. In her words, we're all ethnic in some sense.
Race and ethnicity, what is the difference?
We tend to use race for color, I think, more, and ethnicity for culture, but in fact, it's very hard. The two can't be separated, just like language and culture can't be separated.
And when a particular group lacks much power, she says, whatever term is used for that group eventually becomes negative.
For example, the term Negro was the polite term, actually, when I was a child, but it's associated with a group that had very little power or status in this society, and so the term became negative. So people wanted a more positive term, and they changed it to black, and now it's African-American or Afro-American.
Now, what about the term people of color?
Well, at the university level, it is the term, the polite term. Well, at least at the university where I teach, we have, you know, a lot of international people and a lot of blacks and a lot of Asian-Americans, and they refer to themselves as people of color. I think it's a unifying term for them.
Although Caucasian and Anglo are a couple of terms used for white Americans, mostly they're just called white. But a professor who teaches courses on race and ethnicity has noticed a change.
Actually, in social science now, you will see the term European American used somewhat more, or sometimes we will say non-Hispanic white.
Sue Modell at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst.
From my perspective as a sociologist, I think that it is unfortunate that words like racism have come to have the more general meaning of a sort of, you know, any kind of disadvantage associated with a wide variety of racial or ethnic mixtures, when in fact I think the difference in experience is primarily between people of African origin and others.
To many people, diversity simply means racial diversity. This past week, however, a court ruling challenged that view.
A three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals ruled that it's unconstitutional for the University of Georgia to award bonus points to any non-white applicant. The judges wrote, "We assume that there is value in having a racially diverse student body, but racial diversity alone is not necessarily the hallmark of a diverse student body."
They noted that a white student from a disadvantaged rural area in Appalachia may well have more to offer the university than a non-white applicant from an affluent family. But Sue Modell says it's unlikely that a white student would face the same kind of scrutiny that non-whites sometimes face.
It is very unlikely that anyone is going to be very closely watching that Appalachian student when she or he goes to buy a record or goes into a five and dime store or something to make sure that he or she doesn't walk out with something.
Sue Modell says part of the problem with language is that it really hasn't kept up with change in America.
I think that unfortunately what is happening is that language is confusing us, that in our attempt to be inclusive, that in a sense, you know, we are more inclusive by using, let's say, a word like racism instead of a word like anti-African-Americanism, which would be, you know, much more specific. We could use many, many more words to describe the various ways that different groups could be defined or could relate to one another than we have. Our language is impoverished relative to, you know, the diversity, if I could use that word, of our experience.
And that's all for Wordmaster this week. With Avi Arditi, I'm Roseanne Scherbel.
I don't try to talk anymore, since each word has to be
non-sexist, non-racist, non-heterosexist, post-feminist, multiculturalist, secular humanist, environmentalist, and 100% free of the slightest trace of Eurocentricity.
I remember when I'd treat you like my honey.
You treat me like the victim of institutionalized patterns of discrimination against women, gays, indigenous peoples, Aleutian Islanders, spotted owls, and laboratory bunnies.
I don't sort all my trash into 12 garbage pails. I don't spend every weekend out saving the whales. And I read lots of books by those old dead white males. Shakespeare will be
barred
forevermore.
You're reactionary. Just check the dictionary.
A waiter or waitress is now
a waitron.
That means Trinidad now must be called
Trinitron.
My pretty white pet kitty is now my
monochromatic oppressed fellow mammal. And please don't engage in species chauvinism by calling your aesthetically advantaged feline companion pretty.
When you play referee, babe, our love's growing cold. No, I'm not quite PC, babe, or so I've been told. Is your problem with me that I'm getting too old?
I'd never call you old. I'd call you chronologically challenged.
We male chauvinist pigs once could always get kissed. Now our species is on the endangerment list. If we can't find a mate, we'll die out and be missed.
Missed.
Extinct, just like the giant dinosaur.
Extinct! This male chauvinist pig I must love and protect. For to love endangered species is
politically correct.
You can bring me
floriculturally diverse, polyfragrant, soilistically challenged, multi-petaled victims of pesticidal food chain chauvinism.
A pistol and a stamen. Stay person. You can bring me flowers.